The following is a public hall lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on September 17th, 2011, in Arad, Romania.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapara Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghuna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. So I'm very happy to be here today in Arad, Romania. I've been asked today to speak about bliss, the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So perhaps some of you don't know what Krishna consciousness is. So I will explain to you what is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the original energy of the living being. In other words, within you, you have an original state of being which is full of bliss. In our ordinary daily life, we experience the dualities. Sometimes we are happy, sometimes we are sad, sometimes we are victorious, sometimes we are defeated, sometimes we are healthy, sometimes we are sick, sometimes we are rich, sometimes we are poor, sometimes we are young, sometimes we are old, sometimes it's hot summer, sometimes it is a cold winter. These are called the dualities of material existence. And we are affected by them. But Krishna consciousness means to learn how to not be affected by the dualities. It means how to connect with God within your heart. You actually have a church or a temple or a synagogue or a mosque right there in your heart right now. All you have to do to connect with God is to call out His name with love. That's what we were just doing. We were calling out a prayer to God in the Sanskrit language. So, by calling out the name of God, whether you say Krishna, Allah, Jehovah, or Christ, if you will call out the name of God in the mood of a small child crying for the mother, then you will find an amazing happiness within your heart. That happiness is called Krishna consciousness. That happiness is transcendental bliss. We say transcendental bliss because ordinary bliss is affected by the dualities of the material nature. But transcendental bliss is not affected by the dualities. That means you connect with God within you. And God is full of unlimited love, unlimited mercy, unlimited bliss. God is always enjoying transcendental bliss. And He wants to share that with you. He wants you to participate in His spiritual bliss, in His transcendental bliss. That's why we exist. God is one. But from Himself He expands an unlimited number of living beings so that they can participate with Him in His spiritual bliss. So the only reason that we suffer in this world is when we become separated from God. So if all we have to do is reconnect with God, and then we become full of bliss. It's not a matter of what religion you belong to. That's not the point. The point is to become a lover of God. If I say that God does not exist, then I can never feel true happiness. And if I approach God simply to fulfill my desires, is that love of God? Or is that love of my own desires? The secret of happiness is this. Approach God to fulfill His desires, not to fulfill your desires. Lord Jesus prays in the Bible, Father, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. Not my will, but Your will be done. So this is the secret of Krishna consciousness. Approach God as a humble servant, begging Him, please engage me in Your service. If we present ourselves in this way before God, then we will feel the most amazing happiness within our hearts. Even if we're in the most miserable condition of this material existence, if we can awaken that feeling of love with God, we'll become the happiest person. So we want you to try to understand what is this Krishna consciousness. You may wonder, why are you saying Krishna? Why don't you just say God? Krishna is a name for God in the Sanskrit language. God is a position. The name God is His position. Just like we may say the president. That denotes his position. But what is the president's name? Just like in the USA we have Obama. The president is the position and Obama is the person. So God is the position and Krishna is the person. The difference is, though, he doesn't get re-elected every 4 years. the permanent position. So that Supreme Person actually has unlimited names. Allah, Jehovah, so many names in them. But the name Krishna is a very special name. Because it literally means the all-attractive one. God has unlimited qualities. And each one of God's qualities is very, very attractive. Just imagine a huge diamond with an infinite number of facets. So each facet is a wonderful, beautiful quality of that diamond. So the name Krishna means the one who has unlimited attractive qualities. So the names of God, they describe different aspects of His unlimited qualities. The name Krishna includes all the names of God within it. So therefore it is the most perfect name. So that's why we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are praying to that Supreme Lord that you please engage us in your service. We have realized that our service in this material world, although it may give us some temporary benefit, it does not give us a permanent benefit. We've realized that by giving service to Krishna, our God, that we get unlimited benefit. So, why take limited benefit when you can get unlimited benefit? This is called intelligence. We have to learn as human beings to use our intelligence. It is sometimes said that man is a rational animal. So what separates us from the animals? Our rationality. Our intelligence. So, if you don't want to be an animal, use your intelligence. Act in such a way that you will get permanent benefit from your activities. Why struggle so hard just to serve your material body, which is destined for the grave? Why not serve as much as possible the soul within, that lives forever and is not touched by death? So what is that service for the soul? That service is to revive the soul's relationship with the Supreme Soul, with God. So, how does one do that? This is described in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 34. Manmana bhavan bhakto manjanji namaskuru mamme vaishishi yugdvayavang atmanang matpadayanah. Krishna is telling Arjuna, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your obeisances unto me. In this way, you will be completely absorbed in me. So this is the science of love of God. If you will always think of the Lord, if you always bow down to the Lord, if you'll always worship the Lord, if you'll always be devoted to the Lord, then you'll be fully absorbed in Him. Your consciousness will be saturated with pure love for God. And then everything, every day you live will be an offering to God. Another wonderful day to serve the Lord. Of course, the atheist will say, this talk is foolish. You're talking about God? Don't you know that God is a myth? That's what the atheist will say. But let us analyze that philosophy of the atheists. What is the meaning of God? God means the source of our existence. The beginning from which everything has come. That is God, you see. So do the atheists mean to tell us that we have a sourceless existence, that it came out of nothing? Do you have any experience of taking something out of nothing? Just like sometimes we make popcorn. Have you ever made popcorn out of an empty pot? You just take a pot, an empty pot, you put it in the stove, and pop, 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 all the popcorn comes popping out. No. You put some kernels in that pot. A little oil, you see. And then you get a big, nice pot of popcorn, you see. So, we can see from this simple experiment that there must be a God. That you can't get this whole big creation out of nothing. There has to be a source. Now some will say, yes, there is a source, but it has no personality. But I ask you, is that really logical, that there could be an impersonal source for our existence? Take a gold mine, for example. Every day, so much gold can be extracted from that gold mine. So, for gold to be extracted from the gold mine, it must possess gold. You can't get gold out of a goldless gold mine. It's not possible. There has to be gold within the gold mine to get gold out of it. So, from that original source of existence, so many persons have come. I'm a person. You're a person. Everybody here in Arad is a person. All the Romanians are persons. The Europeans are persons. All the Earthians are persons. All the Chaturmukhi Jagadians are persons. That's the name of our universe, if you didn't know. We are residents of the Chaturmukhi Jagat. That is our address. You can say, I live in Arad, Armenia, Earth, Chaturmukhi Jagat. The scientists don't know, but there are actually millions and billions of universes. And this is the universe of the four-headed Brahma. Chaturmukhi Brahma. So this is the universe of the Chaturmukhi Brahma. That's our address. So everybody in this universe and all the universes within the whole material world, they're all persons. And they all come from God. Therefore, just as the gold to produce gold must possess the gold mine, to produce gold must possess gold, and God to produce all these persons must possess personality. Just as a goldless gold mine cannot produce gold, an impersonal source cannot produce persons. So therefore, there must be a God, and that God must be a person. And since God is a person, therefore He must have a name. At least one name. My father was known by 3 or 4 different names. My mother called him one thing, his college buddies called him another thing. His parents called him another thing. His boss at work called him something else. And we kids called him something else. So even an ordinary man in this material world, my father had so many different names. So how they can say God only has one name? That's not very logical. Even my father can have 4 or 5 names. Why God can't have 4 or 5 million names? The point is, we have to approach God with our intelligence. Don't be a foolish sentimentalist. Be intelligent when you approach to God. God has given you good intelligence as a human being. Now use that intelligence to understand God scientifically. And then the atheists come, you can defeat them easily. One who accepts God sentimentally can become bewildered and confused by the arguments of the atheists. But one who understands God scientifically, he can defeat all the atheists. Simply with his little finger, he can defeat them all. Because their arguments are very weak. They're not based on sound logic. The arguments of the atheists are based on blind faith. They're not based on sound reasoning. So if you will use your intelligence to understand God, you'll be convinced, yes, there must be a God. And then you can understand that actually you're the servant of God. And that your happiness in life is to serve God. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 27, Yat kadoshi yadashnasi, yad jahosi dadatsi yat, yat tapashashi konteya tat kadushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. So this is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. It means to devote yourself to God. So how does one get in this mood and remain in this mood?
Cum putem intra în această stare și să rămânem în această stare?
You have to begin your day as an offering of love to God.
Trebuie să începem ziua ca și o ofrandă lui Dumnezeu.
Rise early in the morning, before the sunrise. Take your bath and chant the holy names of God according to your scriptures. If you have no names to chant, then you can chant this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. We, the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we spend 1.5 to 2 hours every morning meditating on the holy names of God. But you can start with at least 15 or 20 minutes of chanting the holy names of God. Do we have any chanting beads here? Japa beads? No. But if you light some Japa beads, you can order them and we'll get them for you. We can show you how to meditate on the beads. So in this way, if you begin your day with chanting the holy names of God, then you can feel a wonderful connection with God. And there are other things also you can do to improve your feelings of connection with God. If you're taking intoxication like cigarettes or caffeine or alcohol, then you can give that up and chant God's names instead. Or at least you can cut back on it a little bit to begin with. These habits are not good for your health. And they give you an artificial dependence on the caffeine or the nicotine or the alcohol. All we really need is God's names to be intoxicated. So instead of trying to get hyped up with caffeine, nicotine, or alcohol, try to get hyped up with God's name. Doesn't cost anything. And it's not bad for your health. And then we also recommend that you can adopt a vegetarian diet. Because there's no reason to slaughter these innocent animals in the slaughterhouse. They're not hurting anybody. Why we should kill them? They're our little brothers and sisters. So if you kill and eat them, then you have blood on your hands. You're guilty of murder and murdering an innocent creature. Even if you go to the store and buy it, then you're paying someone to kill the animal. So we recommend that you adopt a vegetarian diet. Fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains. And then you offer all of your food to God before eating. Don't you think we owe something to God for all the food He's giving us? If you had a friend living in your house and he filled up your refrigerator every day with food, you had a pantry full of rice and flour and sugar and honey and bananas and oranges and pineapples and eggplants and tomatoes, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
When you sat down to eat, when you sat down to eat all the food that he has given you, would you invite him to eat or just let him sit in the corner? Would you say, oh, thank you for all the food? Or would you invite him, please, I would like to serve you? How do you show your, would you show your gratitude to that person who's supplying all your food? You would first of all feed him, isn't it? You would feed him. So that's what we do in our Krishna consciousness movement. Before we eat, we make a nice plate of the whole meal and we say, here God, this is offered to you. We now bow down and offer this food to you. And after the Lord is taken, then we take. This is our system of eating in the Hare Krishna movement. And then we don't waste our money with gambling, lottery tickets, casinos, the racetrack. If we have any extra money, we spend it to print nice books about God. So you all can read and be benefited. Why we should waste money on a casino or a lottery? And as far as also for a sex pleasure, we use sex only in the service of God. For producing saintly children. So in this way, by chanting the names of God and following these religious principles, we live a godly life, a saintly life. And you can do this too. Right here in Arad, in your own home, you can live as a great saint. If you will chant the names of God, and when you give up your bad habits. If you can't do it immediately, don't worry. Just do a little bit to make progress. It's hard to change our habits. So just do a little bit. And the Lord will see, oh, this person is doing a little bit to come towards me. Let me give help to this person that they can come a little closer to me, a little closer to me. So in this way you can master the art of Krishna consciousness or love of God and become completely pure living being, living in a pure state of God consciousness 24 hours a day. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Question.
How can we know which are God's desires?
His question is very nice. How can we know? How can we know what are God's desires? One way is it's God's desires are directly stated in the scriptures. For example, Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 14. Satatam kirtayanto mam. Always chant my glories. He also says in chapter 4, text 34, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam. This way, he says that you try to approach the spiritual master. You inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So this is where how it gets really easy. You simply have to approach the spiritual master and see how to serve him, that's all. Because he is God's representative, by serving him, Krishna accepts that that is good as serving Krishna. So you simply find out from the spiritual master, my dear Gurudeva, my question is, how can I serve you? This was the one question that Srila Prabhupada had of his spiritual master. How can I serve you? Because the spiritual master is God's representative. Serving the spiritual master is serving God. Just like, let's say you work in some big corporation, and you want to please the board of directors of that corporation by your work. So how will you do that? You serve your direct manager within the company. He is serving his manager, who's serving his manager, who's serving his manager, who directly reports to the board of directors. So how will you please the board of directors? Serve your manager. Because he represents the board of directors through the chain of command in the corporation. So in the same way, by finding out from the spiritual master how to please the spiritual master, then that will be transferred directly to God. Spiritual master will say, do this and don't do that. He will directly engage you. So in this way, you can know how to please God. You understand? Any other questions? Yes.
Sometimes we find out that we have some material desire and we can understand with reason that it is not worth it, but still it is there. And should we fulfill this desire or should we repress it?
Sometimes we find ourselves having material desires and we know that actually it's not worth fulfilling them. But they're bothering us so much, we just want to go ahead and do it and get it over with. The secret of Krishna consciousness is this. Don't try to repress your material desires. That will not be successful. Because our nature is to be full of desires. That is our nature. What you have to do is develop spiritual desires for pleasing your spiritual master, for pleasing Krishna, for pleasing the devotees. In this way, by filling your heart full of spiritual desires, when the material desires come to the hotel of your heart to check in, there will be a big sign there in your heart, no vacancy. So in this way, you must fill your heart with spiritual desires. Just like the great pure devotees. They are not desireless. They have more desires than anybody else. The great pure devotees, they want that every man, woman and child on this whole planet shall become Krishna conscious. Not only this planet, but every planet within the universe. Not only this universe, but every single universe within the entire material existence. That's the desire of the great pure devotees. So they have more desires than we do. We have a few material desires, but they have hundreds and millions and billions of spiritual desires. So you just try to fill your heart with spiritual desires. They're so wonderful, actually, spiritual desires. The material desires will just fade away naturally when your spiritual desires become predominant. If you have some material talents, use them for Krishna. Just like I have one student, he's a writer. He likes to write poetry. So I said, no, that's nonsense, you shouldn't write poetry anymore. No, I didn't tell him that. Now he writes amazing Krishna conscious poetry. He sometimes sends me in the email his poetry. They're very nice poems, I really enjoy them very much. So any talent you have, you see, use that for Krishna. Do you like to talk? Talk about Krishna. Do you like to cook? Cook for Krishna. Do you like to paint? Paint for Krishna. Do you like to make money? Make money for Krishna. Do you like to teach? Teach the science of Krishna consciousness. Whatever talent or ability you have, use that for Krishna. Don't repress it, express it in a transcendental way that's pleasing to the Lord. Any other questions?
Ce perspectivă vor fi în această privință, pentru că contradicția care e tot mai mare între teorie și practică.
So all religions they have like similar principles, but there is a discrepancy between the religious principles and what is going on in society. So what is the perspective, what should we do about it? What is the perspective?
So all religions teach the same principle of love of God. But we see the world is very much in the opposite direction now. They're in love of so much nonsense. It's not God conscious. What to do about it? Is that your question? Have I understood your question correctly?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So, The difficulty is we get caught up in all these sectarian ideas that my religion is good and your religion is bad. But actually, we're not even following our own religion. We're just, and we puff ourselves, we advertise ourselves as being very big because I'm a member of this religion, but actually, we're doing all sinful nonsense. So what is required is that we understand the common principles of religion. That one should be very clean. One should be very merciful. One should be willing to do some austerities for the pleasure of the Lord. And one should be very honest. These are the common principles of religion that apply for all. The difficulty is we're not following these basic principles of religion. By overindulgence in sex, we're becoming very dirty. By slaughtering the innocent animals in the slaughterhouse and the innocent babies in the abortion clinic, we've lost all of our mercy. By the lying propaganda of the politicians, the whole atmosphere is being surcharged with dishonesty. And nobody knows how to practice austerities anymore for the pleasure of the Lord. If someone is asked to rise early to engage in prayer, they would not think of, how is it possible to get up early in the morning? I can't do that. I don't know about in Romanian language, but in English language, if you get up early in the morning, they say that's an ungodly hour. It shows how they've lost all sense of austerity. To rise early in the morning before sunrise, that is the godly hour. The ungodly hour is the nightlife with all the nightclubs and the strip joints and the casinos. That's the ungodly time. So if all the religious people can learn how to be austere, how to be clean, how to be merciful, and how to be honest, then there'll be peace and happiness all over the world. We are not trying to convert anybody from one religion to another religion. But we are encouraging, whatever your religion is, you learn how to be peaceful, learn how to be austere, how to be clean, how to be merciful, and how to be honest. Those four things. That will solve the problem. So, any other questions? Yes, sir.
So God has made women and men to be different, physically, psychically.
What's different?
Women and men, they are different physically,
yeah,
mentally, and so on.
Yeah.
And but still, there is so much propaganda for equality.
Ah.
So what is the Vedic perspective?
Put that in perspective. Yeah, there's. Men and women are different psychologically and physically, but yet there's so much propaganda they're equal. But so, what is the proper understanding of this? The proper understanding is it's foolishness. It's completely foolish. Spiritually, men and women are equal. Because we are all servants of God. But materially, there are so many differences. If they want to say it's all the same, then I challenge them, okay, my dear lady, you make your husband pregnant. If you can make your husband pregnant, then we will accept that you're physically equal with men. You show me one woman anywhere in the world who can make her husband pregnant. Then they can argue for equality. Psychologically also. A woman has a certain nature that makes her conducive for holding a child in her womb and nurturing that child and nursing that child when the child comes out of the womb. She has a psychology which makes that a very, that makes it a joyful experience for her to do that. A man doesn't have that psychology. He has a psychology of being strong and protecting his wife, you see. That is nature's way. The woman is in a weaker, more vulnerable position. So the man's psychology is to be a strong protector of the wife. That's his natural psychology. So to say that it's that women and men have the same psychology and the same physiology is completely untrue. Even the scientists who study the brain have seen there are distinct differences between the male brain and the female brain. It's not the same. But whether you're in a male body or a female body, that doesn't matter. Because God is an equal opportunity employer. Everyone is welcome. Man, woman, white, black, American, Romanian, it doesn't matter. Krishna sees everyone equally. They're all his children. Any other questions?
How can a person see God and think about God in his life when there are some unhappy circumstances in his life?
How can he think about what is it?
How can he think about God if he has some unhappy
circumstances? How can one think about God if he has some unhappy circumstances? Actually, that is the best opportunity for thinking about God. One feels helpless that the material circumstances are more than I can handle. It's too much. It's just unmanageable. I can't handle it. That's when you can feelingly pray, Krishna, please help me. So that is the best position for God consciousness. Like a little child when he's helpless. He's screaming for his mother. He has no idea how to handle it.
El nu are nicio idee cum să facă față.
One day when I was a small boy, I was going to a kind of like a you would say it's kind of like a day camp during the summer, a day camp in the summer. And my mother would pick me up in the afternoon. And one day she didn't show up. And I was so scared. Oh no, where's my mother? I felt completely helpless in the world. We didn't have cell phones in those days. There was nothing I could do except stand there on the side of the street and wonder what's going to happen to me. Where is my mother? Where is my mother? Where is my mother? That's all I could think about. Where is my mother? So when one is in a helpless condition, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Help me, Krishna. Help me,
Krishna.
It's very good to be in a very unfortunate material circumstance. It's such a great thing that Kunti Devi was begging for unfortunate circumstances. Vipada shantu tat vami, what is that verse? Vipada shantu tashtvashtat tatra tat jagad guru bhavanam darshanam yatsad apuna bhavad darshanam. Kunti Devi is praying, my dear Krishna, please put me into more and more unfortunate circumstances. Because when I find myself in these unfortunate circumstances, I have nothing else to do except take shelter of you. And when I take shelter of you, then I will no longer see birth and death. So please, my Lord, be kind to me and give me more and more unfortunate circumstances. Any other questions?
Asking, sometimes there is very good circumstance. We are very healthy and we have good mental state. How should we do then? What to do then to not forget?
What to do when everything is going great? Well, you have to remember the Lord and thank the Lord. Thank my Lord, you are so kind upon me. You have given me this wonderful circumstance where I have all facility to serve you nicely. Please bless me, I can use all of these opulences in your service. That's the key.
Says that the situation is that usually when we are in good position, then we forget God.
You're right. That's why Kunti was praying for to be in unfortunate circumstances. But if we have a spiritual master who trains us properly, then we know how to be God conscious even when things are going great. That's why you need a spiritual master. The spiritual master will train you how to always be thankful to God, how to always take shelter of God. Any other questions?
Dacă instituția
mai are o perspectivă și în acest sens ce i-am recomandat tinerilor înaintea căsătoriei.
Marriage, like it is a social institution, has some future. And what would you recommend to young people who are going to be married?
Yes, marriage is a social institution. Does it have, what is the future of it? And what do you recommend to young people who are going to be married?
Întrebarea este ca căsătoria ca și instituție socială, dacă are un viitor și persoanelor tinere care urmează să se căsătorească, ce le-am recomandat?
Married life is to restrict sex life.
Viața căsătorită înseamnă o viață strictă din punct de vedere.
Without marriage, if we have sex freely, then we're just like animals. But human life means to restrict sex pleasure to your to one woman only, your wife. So marriage is very necessary as an institution in the human society. The animals don't have marriage, you see. Marriage is what makes us different from the animals. It means now you have license, like God is giving some license for sex pleasure under the vow of marriage. Outside of the marriage vow, sex is illicit. It's sinful. It means there's no commitment. They make a pregnancy, then they have abortion, they murder the baby. So they don't realize by murdering that baby what kind of sinful reaction they're going to get for having done them. There's so much disturbance in the world now. This is due to the accumulated volume of sinful activities. In one place, there's horrible drought. Another place, there's horrible flooding. In one place, they're becoming super rich, a huge expansion of the economy. In another place, they're going into a horrible debt and economic disaster. This imbalance within the society is due to sinful activities. So if they will learn how to take the marriage vow very seriously and not have sex life outside of marriage, that will have a very profound uplifting impact on the world civilization. And within that marriage, they should make God the center of that marriage. And produce saintly children to become lovers of God. Any other questions?
He says, we have now a technological revolution and people are becoming richer. Do you think that religion has some future?
We have technology now, people are getting richer. Do I think religion has some future? What is that richer that they're becoming? Oh, they're getting, you know, smartphones. But can you eat a smartphone? You see. The actual things that we depend on for life, they are given by God. With your high technology, can you make food? Can you manufacture water and air with your high technology? These things are given by God. To say, who needs gods anymore? Now we are high tech. That is foolishness. It is described in the Bhagavad Gita. Anadbhavanti bhutani parajanyo vanasambhavaha jagat bhavati parajanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha. Chapter 3, text 14. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rain is produced by the performance of yagya or sacrifice. And sacrifice is born of prescribed duties. Show me the high-tech scientist who can produce rain. Can Steve Jobs produce rain? Can Bill Gates produce rain?
You see?
They can make the iPhone 5, which is now coming out to be released soon. But can they make rain? You see? Man has lived for thousands of years without the iPhone. But he hasn't lived without the rain. So what's more important, the rain or the iPhone? Practical economics. What's more important, the rain or the iPhone? You can use your iPhone to tell your friend, we're starving here because there's a drought. You see? So I'm not against the iPhone. I have an iPhone 4, actually. I use it for Krishna. This technology can be used. I'm using a microphone. I'm using a very high-tech microphone, a high-tech MP3 recorder. This lecture will be posted on the internet. We have nothing against high technology. But we have an even higher technology. And that technology is how to produce rain. That's the technology that we are teaching. We are more high-tech than Steve Jobs. We want to teach everyone the technology of how to bring rain. If you don't pay your electric bill, what happens? And you don't pay your water bill, what happens? They'll cut off your water and your electricity, right? So you have to pay your water bill, you have to pay your electric bill. And then you continue to get the water and the electricity. But right now, we're not paying our water bill. Therefore, there is drought. How do we pay the water bill? By chanting the names of God. According to your own scriptures, you can chant. If you have no scripture, chant this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The more you perform yajna, our sacrifice, then God will be pleased. The more the human civilization will chant the holy names of God, then we will get ample rain. The right balance. Everything will become balanced. Now that everyone is afraid of global warming also. There's so many anxieties. The European debt crisis. There's so many anxieties and terrorism attacks. There's so many anxieties going on. If we would simply chant the names of God, then all these problems will be solved.
Dacă vom cânta pur și simplu numele lui Dumnezeu, toate aceste probleme vor fi rezolvate.
We are a small handful of people chanting these names.
Suntem o mulie de oameni care cântăm aceste nume.
Now we are trying to induce the whole world to chant the names of God.
Vrem să convingem întreaga populație lumii să cânte.
This is the ultimate technology.
Aceasta este tehnologia supremă.
How to bring all auspiciousness on this planet from nature. Nature is working under the laws of God. We are not in harmony with nature, nor are we in harmony with the laws of God. Therefore, we are facing so many difficulties. So we have to learn how to live in perfect harmony with God and with nature. God is the Father and nature is the Mother. So we must live in this very nice, loving, harmonious relationship with our Mother and Father, God and nature. That is the real technology. So, I'll stop here. And we thank you all very much for your participation in this program. Should we do a book table thing now? Huh? Yes? Huh? Hmm? I don't know. We should have a books? All right, so we can for a few minutes. So we have this nice book table here. Anyone who purchases a book, you can bring it here and I'll give you a written blessing in your book. So we thank you very much. Hare Krishna.